Morning, I got up very early. It was still dark, which is not hard to do this time of year. But I was surprised when I came downstairs and looked out my window. And I live in a co-op, and my living room window looks out over the playground, which of course is also filled with trees. And this time of year, the trees have, for the most part, dropped all their leaves, and so I can see through. And this morning, I could see the eastern sky. And at the moment that I saw it, it was this most delicate, most beautiful, pale yellow changing to pale peach color. It was so beautiful. I mention that because we're talking about the future today. And every morning, that sun, whether we can see it or not, comes up. Another day, another future. We're going to talk about the future both of this congregation and the future of our denomination. The Canadian Unitarian Council, which is the Association of Unitarian Churches across Canada, from Halifax to Victoria, who are some of them smaller than Beacon, some of them 10 times larger, like a string of pearls laid out over the country, this association of liberal religious communities is worried, planning, thinking, imagining their future as well. Some look to the future and see only alienation and annihilation. Others, when they look to the future, are excited. They have excited discussions about what the world might look like in 2030 and beyond. There are those who respond to the call to reimagine the future with muscular enthusiasm. And there are those who, like the sun rising this morning, take a gentler view of tomorrow. This world that we live in is changing, and there's nothing we can do about it. It's a rapidly changing world. And how we imagine the future will need to incorporate the changes. We know that communications, our modes of communication, are changing daily. The world shifted to visual stories and short sound bites, and if we don't adapt to this, we will cut ourselves off from those who speak that particular language. And that, I think, is a matter of both practicality and respect. We know that with the immigration to the cities from rural areas, some from other countries, there's the rising fears of mistrust of strangers. There's the loss of conversational skills. There's the addiction, my judgment word, to technology. And many, many people feel isolated and lonely. I believe it would be immoral of us, of this community, not to be a destination that welcomes and engages these yearning people. We know that with the speed of change, many are overwhelmed and lost and seek a community that meets them with compassion and encouragement to renew their search for life's meaning in the rapidly changing world. Now, Beacon, our community here, has chosen a structure, a container for the future. And we've contained it in the words connect, inspire, and transform. My question to you is, how will you do it? What will it look like? And what will it mean for the world when you do? The past few years, this community has experienced anxiety and fear because the numbers have dwindled. It's not an unrealistic conclusion or expression, a feeling to be scared, especially if you look at the heyday of 10 years ago when the population here was double. But Beacon, over the years, in the 30 plus years it's been around, the population has gone up and down. This is just one moment in our string of years. But it's been hard losing so many friends. And recently the loss of original members like Ralph and Barold make the grief immediate and painful. This congregation is held together with strands of caring. Each relationship, no matter how close, no matter how intimate or fraught with tension, is a fiber in that connection. These fibers between you are real and living. To test that livingness, one only need to bring in a new baby. We have a new baby here today. Last month we had Katie brought in a new baby, and there was a thrum through the fibers of this community with the joy of Alexander's new life. Or when we welcome David, good timing. Can you feel the fibers thrumming? Last month we welcomed David back to the piano, and the fibers between you hummed again with delight. This is the living reality of that connection. Staking our future on connection means that you value that space between, and that you're committed to caring for it, and you are committed to welcoming others into the fibers. Obviously, not every connected fiber is going to zing with delight and joy all the time. Your fibers will sometimes be taut with tension, a tension of uncomfortableness when what has always been changes, when children yell or seniors can't hear, when there's no coffee, and a new person's creative fiber wants to change the seating arrangements. But really, in reality, these are very tiny tensions, easily transformed into a new cloth if you are willing, if you are really committed to that future vision. And that's why you create a vision. It's meant to be held onto when tensions or storms blow through. And there's risk involved in opening yourself to the new and the untried. There's risk in starting new relationships, and there is risk in staying committed to the relationship that you are in. So you have wisely chosen to be contained by inspiration. Inspire is the second step in your vision. Inspire means to breathe, inhale. Your vision is inhaling together, breathing together. Inspire also means to stimulate somebody to do something, to encourage somebody to greater effort, greater enthusiasm, or greater creativity. As I listen to the choir singing, "We rise again in the faces of our children," I felt each choir member breathing as one to reach the notes together. And through their commitment to breathing together, they blend their breaths on sound and inspire our hearts. I felt my heart move. I had tears in my eyes. I felt inspired by those voices blended together and the words that they sang. What do we need inspiration for? We need it to stay in healthy connection. We need inspiration to keep our hearts from shutting down, because every day we face challenges, everyday challenges, of living in this world, the personal challenges of jobs to go to and bills to pay and children to raise, health concerns, concerns for our family members and friends. And there are societal challenges, Some might say that our collective future is grim. There is the destruction of the natural environment and forces moving to destroy our authentic connections to each other. It's a huge challenge to keep our tender hearts open when we may be feeling such fear and pain, anger, or despair. A moment ago, the choir committed to breathing together, and that collective effort inspired us with the vision of the song, "We rise again in the voices of our song, and then we rise again." Again. The choir's gift to us sent a river of hope down the fibers that connect us, and we are inspired. My hope for our choir, our future choir, is that they will take their creative energy, that skill in breathing together and making music together, out beyond the walls of this community, into the public square, into hospitals, onto protest lines, and bringing Beacon's vision of inspiration to a bigger community. Now, all of you here, and those that couldn't be with us today, are on a journey together. You have committed to this journey by making your financial pledge for next year. You've committed to this journey by being here today or listening, as many people do, online to our services. In this world of cynicism and greed, I want to think that you are committed to this relationship. I think you know how important communities grounded in critical thinking and compassion and committed to liberal values are at this time in history. Despair is laying on the doorstep or waiting at the end of the bed. It is real. And I know I am not the only one who feels it. This world needs connection and inspiration. How will you inspire? How are you going to breathe hope into the world? Now, we know the antidote to despair is action, or one of them anyway. Even if it doesn't solve the whole problem, it sure feels better to do something, however small that something is. Like yesterday in the Climate Change Changes Me session at Moody Park, three members of our congregation, Terry McComas, Teresa Morton, and Marilyn Medine, offered two inspiring hours of actions that we can take to reduce, reuse, and recycle, and engage in the challenge of climate change. To get a perspective on time and future this week, I read many predictions for the year 2030, which is only 15 years away. And then I also reflected on the last 15 years. Where were you in 1999? That was the year of the millennium, we called it, even though inaccurate, but that's what we called it. That was when Putin became the president of Russia, when Boris Yeltsin resigned. And we thought it was the end of the Cold War. Bill Gates that year made his first $100 billion. Shakespeare in Love won the Oscar. And the youth in the Beacon Youth Group had just been born. Except technically not Megan, she was born the following year. But thereabouts. Isn't that extraordinary? 15 years into the future is 2029. Futurist Thomas Frey says that our world will change more in the next 15 years than it has ever changed in its whole history. I can't fathom that. But when I was talking to the youth the other day about the world since they were born, the things that did not exist before 15 years ago and are now commonplace and beyond. It's staggering. In 2029, only 15 years from now, we may be driving driverless cars on their own roads, scanning our surroundings with Google glasses and eating food that is created by 3D printers. I'm not making anything up here. But will our understanding of freedom change? How will we, or will we, be restricted in the choices we have to live lives of integrity, lives of justice, lives of creative independence? The future is not about toys. Not the future that I'm interested in. I want to know if we will have access to information beyond the corporate agenda. Will we have freedom of movement and freedom of association? Will we have a deeper understanding of being human? In my readings, I saw predictions that the world's religions are going to swell by 50% by the year 2030. Only 15 years. Now, the prediction didn't tell me why. So I get to speculate. One answer might be that as time goes on and individuals feel less and less able to affect their environment, have less control over their lives, more vulnerable to corporate agendas that choose what we eat and learn and talk about, as that world burns, perhaps we will be seeking out religion for comfort and understanding and meaning. I had a dream last week, and this was not a waking dream, though it came into my day. And in this dream, the enemies were at the border, and the world was burning. And as the dream progressed, the enemies, those faceless people that herald our end, crossed the border and entered our land. There was a sense that they would arrive any moment, bringing our death. So everyone in our house gathered together, those who were left. And we had done everything that we could do in preparation. We had done good work. But there was nothing left to do other than to come together. We acknowledged that it was the end, and we reached out for each other in the living room of this house, surrounded by windows, and you could see the world burning in the distance. We reached out to each other, and we held each other's hands, and we began to sing. And we sang, and we sang, and we sang. We sang through the night. We sang into the next day, and still the enemy had not come. And we continued to sing. I woke up as we were still singing. That act of reaching out to take the hand of the person beside you and choosing to sing, that is a countercultural act of inspiration. It is an unexpectedly bold action. It is a courageously human action. And it is transformative. The women on the commons in England many years ago held hands and sang as they faced the gates of the nuclear industry. The civil rights marchers did the same as they walked from Selma to Montgomery. We may be singing again on the lines that are drawn between the oil industry expansion and the protection of the British Columbia wilderness. Now, I'm not putting all my hope into singing. I'm putting all my hope on the people standing together, holding on to each other, holding each other up. My hope is that the tides of people flowing back to religion are looking for meaning and connection and are not just hiding out from a meaningless world. Beacon, you're going to be ready. You're going to be ready with your arms open to welcome the seekers and the questioners, the climate refugees, and the cultural evacuees. Beacon will have honed its community fibers so that there is a thrumming of anticipation. I think that our society by 2030 will need a community like Beacon like no other, one that is committed to hope and integrity and to critical, rational thinking. I think it will become a rarity at a time that these qualities are needed more than ever. This community has committed to a future where connection, inspiration, and transformation are integral. This is both a challenge and a necessity. You now need to use your imaginations and risk your comfortableness and challenge your fear and implement this vision. May you, may we, have fire in our commitment to this vision of the future.